crop.
Hello and welcome to a very special edition of the Guna podcast because I am speaking with Ivan Merk, a Russian Arsenal blogger and Premier League observer who this is Kevin Witcher, your host, and we have regular contact on Arsenal matters, and I thought it would be interesting for the Guna website people to hear what the view is from Russia, because it's not one we are normally exposed to, and Ivan's always got interesting views on our team. So firstly, welcome Ivan.
Thank you, Kevin, for invitation, and I would like to say a very warm welcome to you and to the listeners. And for the beginning, Kevin, I would like to give you and our listeners some kind of poll. We will not give an answer now, but we will discuss it later. So, the question is, if you will be told that Arsenal next 8 season will be on the following position: 1-4, 1-4, 10-4, 12 and 5. Will you accept it? Once again, the positions. 1 is first place, yes. 4-1, 4-10, 4-12 and 5. So I think everybody can think about will they accept it, and we will reveal the real answer later. So
let me just clarify that. That's 1 first.
First place, then fourth place, then first, then fourth, yeah. Then 10th, yeah. Fourth, 12th, and fifth.
Okay, so basically Arsenal will win 2 titles, and they will make the top 4 on 3 other occasions, and they will spend 3 seasons out of the top 4 and not make Champions League.
Yes.
Okay. And this is just a general question about Arsenal. It's irrelevant to who's managing the team. It's just about
absolutely
expectation.
It's expectation. You were as a Guna,
right,
in 2018.
Okay. Interesting. All right. So we'll answer that one later then. Or I'll put a poll up on the Twitter feed as well, and we'll see what reaction we get there. So I mean, firstly, how does a Russian football enthusiast start following Arsenal? What's the history here?
Listen, it's a different story for different people. In my view, the first serious wave was, of course, in the season 2003 and 2004. Definitely, the Invincibles. And then maybe the second big wave was in 2009 after Andriy Arshavin joined the club. So it's difficult to say how it works now, because if I'm a neutral, for example, I don't understand how can you choose Arsenal over another clubs. And the tendency is that we have less supporters every year. So we are losing the supporters every year.
Okay, so the football fans in Russia, they can switch between their foreign teams. There's not a huge loyalty where they will stick with one Premier League team once they start following them.
No. I mean the young people who are starting to watch English football, and right, they are trying to choose his team.
So less of the young people are...
Yes. No, definitely we are like English. We can change wife and we can cannot change the club.
Right, I understand. Okay. And this is obviously linked to the profile of the club. Now, you know, they do historically... They have been in Champions League. They've had exposure. They've been in a lot of big Premier League television matches. But the reality is they haven't challenged in either of those competitions. So I'm assuming that these younger people of which you talk are now following the sides that are winning the Premier League?
I agree with you, yes. Okay. More. We are losing the supporters. So I see it. Right. The people walk away from Arsenal.
Okay.
Who supported, for example, 10 years, 15 years, yeah. 20 years. They can't see it anymore.
Right, so they just can't watch. And do they just not watch? Do they continue to watch Premier League, but they just they don't have a team?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Because when you lose your team, it's not very interesting to watch Premier League as a neutral. So, okay, it's interesting, but it's a different story when you have your own team.
Mm, okay. And presumably, every Premier League match is broadcast in Russia these days?
Almost, yes. Not each match, of course, but if you support big team, you can see, I don't know, maybe 95% of matches, except maybe League Cup. Right. This season. Okay. But it's satellite TV, so it's payable. I pay a month around maybe £10 a month.
Okay. And what's the... I mean, how does that compare, for example, with the Invincible season? Was it the same then? You could watch 95% of Arsenal's matches?
To be honest, I don't remember what was with the Russian television in 2004, but I believe it was plus minus the same.
Right. Okay. So it's a long-running thing. The Premier League has marketed the matches very well, and the exposure is there if people want it.
Yes. Yes.
So there's a big growth in the audience for Arsenal in Russia, and those who supported Arsenal as their English team because of the Invincibles. And there was another wave because of Andrei Arshavin.
Yes, I think so.
Okay. Now, one of the things I perceive from what you have told me is that what we will call the desire for Arsene Wenger to move on seemed to start much earlier in Russia amongst a much larger percentage of the fan base than has happened here in England. Would you say I've understood that correctly?
Listen, we are not in the sociology, so I'm not able to tell you exactly how it happened, but definitely that Russian Gunners started to realize what's going on, I don't know, maybe 7, 8, 9 years ago. Maybe it's the same story as in England. Firstly, very small percentage, then a little bit bigger, then there were FA Cup, which stopped maybe this story, this growth. And now, these days, I believe definitely 60-65% are waiting for Wenger to go. Maybe more. I don't make any polls on it because it's absolutely obvious when you read what people are saying, comments, exactly. Very small amount of the guys who are supporting Wenger blindly. And more important, that they are not so loud as usual.
Yes, they haven't got
so a lot. So it's an overwhelming story.
They haven't got a lot to really defend their position with these days.
Absolutely. I don't understand what will be your arguments today.
Yes. Well, fear of the unknown seems to be what we get here. You know, could anyone do better? Which to me is a ridiculous question.
Could anyone do better in Arsenal than Arsene Wenger, you mean?
That people do say that.
I do believe that at least there are 100 coaches who is ready to challenging top four with the budget of £350 million.
Yeah. So, I mean, tell me a little bit about your blogging? I mean, what do you write about, and how often do you blog?
It depends on games. So I'm writing previews and small posts of each game, and then some analytics, maybe not often, once, twice a month. But these days, this situation is so obvious, so I don't think that it is necessary to explain something to people or to show them, because everybody understands, mostly, understands what's going on, who is Mr. Wenger, who is Mr. Kroenke, what's going on in reality. And the general perception is that we are all poisoned and we are waiting for the saving, let's say. So we're all poisoned. Some people are dying already, I mean, in terms of supporting Arsenal. And the vast majority poisoned already. So the only thing that can help to these people, I'm sure it's not only in Russia, I'm sure it's all over the world, given the flash mob which was at internet this spring, we understand that all over the world, intelligent people want Wenger out. So we need a remedy, and there is only one remedy. But to be honest, I'm not optimist in this, because in my view, there is no option for Wenger to go summer 18th. And I don't know, maybe 5% I will give that Wenger will go summer 19th. Because the story, in my view, is that Mr. Wenger needs to work.
Yes.
He needs to work. And if you have 9 million a year, let's say, doesn't matter, 8, 9, 10, but okay, enough money for doing what you want to do with zero accountability and zero responsibility, Kevin, it's a job you will never turn down, and you will never turn down, and I will never turn down. So the discussion on will Wenger go is discussion about nothing, because Wenger himself will never go. There is no reason for him to go, because he got what he want. So he need a help from somebody. Somebody need to help him to go. Who is this somebody? Tell me the name.
Well, I mean,
who's?
It's basically it's a two-way process. Two sets of people want to Wenger to continue as manager. One of them is the man himself. The other one is presumably Stan Kroenke.
Okay. Stan Kroenke. Okay, let's talk on Stan Kroenke. Listen, Stan Kroenke has 8 years in the club, 7 years, okay, as a majority shareholder. He gave us some information sometimes through the Daily Telegraph, and we understand what's going on completely. Mr. Kroenke said that Arsenal is not business for him, because there are a lot of much easier ways to earn money. I completely agree with it. The idea that Kroenke regards Arsenal as a cash cow is a nonsense, because Arsenal for him is not cash cow. If you remember, he bought the shares from the guys
Danny Fisman
and Fryer and all others in 2011 for reportedly £400 million. Also, they say that he got a facility, financial facility, from one of German banks, presumably Deutsche Bank, but also doesn't matter, for this purchase. If we can imagine the interest of the bank, let's say it would be very loyal interest, 3% a year. From 400 million, you have to pay 12 million a year interest. And last 7 years means that Kroenke should take from the club around 84 million pounds only to pay interest for purchasing the club. We all know that Kroenke didn't take this money from the club. It means that any other business pay this interest for Arsenal. This is absolutely not a business story.
So you're saying the interest is being paid from Kroenke's other ventures?
No, yes, of course. Right. Of course. I don't know which one, doesn't matter. But did he take from Arsenal 84, 85 million pounds? Definitely not. No. So somebody paid it. Yeah. Then the question is, so why he needs Arsenal if it's not a business for him? And in my view, he gave this answer 7 years ago in September after Old Trafford disaster. And he said that he is here for Arsene Wenger to work for life. So Mr. Kroenke has a mission to keep Arsene Wenger a job for his life.
Yes, but I mean, talk is cheap, Ivan. I mean, he's obviously going to back the manager while he's in the job. But the reality is that all owners will state the same message until they decide to get rid of them. So, yes, I agree Kroenke has made all the right noises as far as Arsene Wenger is concerned. But what interests me and what makes me optimistic about change is that ultimately the figures don't lie. Arsenal are going to make less money this season, and if they don't make Champions League, they're going to make less money next season. Income will fall from broadcast revenue, but also when the club come to do their deal for the next kit manufacturer replacing Puma, they're not going to be able to get the same kind of sums they would if they were not taking part in the Champions League. So the only way to make up that shortfall is to sell players and make the team less competitive, and it's a downward spiral from there. So even though Kroenke may be loyal to Wenger, and I believe that's the reason he was given the current deal, surely what Kroenke is interested in is the balance books and what's happening financially with his investment. And he will see that there is no real positive justification for retaining Arsene Wenger any longer. Why would he continue if it's going to make no difference getting another guy in who might actually improve the situation? Because Arsenal are not going to be relegated. The only real issue is, I mean, Europa League is you can see by the teams that the managers field in that competition, from England anyway, that it's not significant. So it's Champions League or nothing. So what's the difference, you know, and if you're going to be out of Champions League, you might as well try a different manager.
Yes, but the question is, what is Kroenke's motivation in keeping the club?
I believe it's the value of the club.
Why he needs value to sell?
Well, ultimately, he'll always say, "I'm not selling." That's his mantra.
Yes.
Yeah, and then until he needs to sell it. And now he's never going to say, "I'm going to sell." This is just a negotiating position. Everything has a price. And I believe that words can be pretty meaningless when, you know, ultimately money becomes more important. Now, Kroenke probably thinks, you know, that this is a long-term investment going to be handed over to his son. But circumstances change and talk is cheap. And reality is that people can say a lot of things and then do something different when the time comes. So, you know, although I appreciate Kroenke's track record has not been as a seller of any of his teams, this is unusual because he's not in America. He has no real interest in the game. His interest in Arsenal, I believe, is as a financial investment. He got involved because he could see the potential for the growth. One of the things he's most excited about is, for example, the continent of Africa, you know, getting up to speed online, because that means that market will open up for more income for Premier League matches. So he's looking at it financially. And on that level, you know, he could easily sell the club for financial reasons. He's not bothered about the sport of football. He doesn't care about football. He doesn't understand the game. What matters to him is the balance books, the value of his investment, and at what point, if he needs money, it would be good to sell. And so I think his criteria for retaining a manager ultimately will be financial, and Wenger has been delivering up until last season, and now he's in decline financially. You know, the club are on a downward path unless Wenger turns it around. He's been given the opportunity to do that with a 2-year deal, but my own view is that if he can't get the club back into Champions League by the end of this season, that's two seasons out of the competition. What's the point in giving him another year? Is third time lucky? It's something needs to change the direction of the club. And my optimism at this end is based on the changes going on behind the scenes. So tell me what your opinion is of these new guys coming in from Borussia Dortmund for the scouting and from Barcelona to oversee the football operations. What do you make of that?
We are talking on Wednesday before the Aubameyang deal is officially declared. Yes. So, but let's say, okay, Aubameyang is in Arsenal. Let's say. We are not sure, but okay. 90% that it will. But the style of buying Aubameyang is a panic buy. It's nothing new. We've seen many times, and for example, with Andre Arshavin, was absolutely the same story. All January they were talking about Arshavin. Gazidis was in St. Petersburg in Russia. Arshavin flew to airport at the last day, and nobody knows will it happen or not. What we have heard from Mr. Zorc from Dortmund, when he said that we have a certain parameters, and if Arsenal meet these parameters, we would sell, it means that Arsenal didn't want to meet these parameters of this deal and tried to negotiate all the time. The big clubs doesn't behave like that in the market. The big companies doesn't behave like that, because if you need a player during championship, you play the game all the time, one or twice a week. You are losing points all the time, and you need a player which can help you to get more points. In this situation, you pay what they ask, take the player, and said, okay, you have a time to get a replacement. If you are telling me that new guys change the situation in Arsenal, definitely it's not. So we have Aubameyang deal in Wenger style, absolutely. We have an exchange, Sanchez versus Mkhitaryan. And we have, as far as we understand, selling Giroud to Chelsea in order... but Shuai would be allowed to go to Dortmund. In my view, this is absolutely... I'm trying to find a soft word. Absolutely unacceptable. you can't work in this way. If you need a player, you buy and take the player and work with the player inside your team. I don't know what will happen when Sanlihi will come tomorrow. I don't know. But for today, nothing has changed. Absolutely nothing. It's the same old story. When Wenger decides everything, Wenger stops any contact if he doesn't want it. And Wenger is ruling everything. In this story, normal football club can't live. You can't live in it. The results on transfer market, generally speaking, in January is awful. Awful, Kevin. My personal view that the exchange Sanchez to Mkhitaryan is betrayal and abuse. Abuse to those fans, at least, who remember that 50th game, that Mike Riley's refereeing, and that Mancunian's behavior at that day. It's an abuse. The selling of Van Persie was an abuse. Change Sanchez to Mkhitaryan is a bigger abuse because you don't get money, but you get a definite flop from Manchester United, who is not adapted to Premier League, and nobody knows will he adapt at Arsenal. But the story, the history of Dortmund players in Premier League tells us that there are few chances for adaptation. It's also, if we are talking on Aubameyang too, because Kagawa, because of Mkhitaryan, let's talk on Arsenal. We have a Xhaka from Germany, Mönchengladbach, who was good in Germany, as they say. Mm. But I'm sorry, Xhaka is not a granite in reality. Yeah. And I don't think that German championship is the place where you can buy top players for England. They can be top players for Germany, of course, but I'm not sure that it works in terms of English Premier League. So the story with transfers, in my view, absolutely unacceptable. It has to be changed, of course. And they were talking about changes, about new guys. But what I have seen from now is that one scout, Rowley, changed to another scout, Miss Lintat, and one negotiator, Dick Law, changed to another negotiator, Sanlihi. That's it. The style of working at transfer market is absolutely the same, which means that Arsene Wenger in charge of all aspect of transfer activity.
Right. Well, I've got to counter that, Ivan. the young Greek defender who came at the beginning of the window, Wenger had never heard of him. Wenger had nothing to do with his arrival. Mm-hmm. Wenger was presented with this player, who was a Mislintat find, and Wenger immediately said, "This player is going out on loan." Mm-hmm. Wenger then saw the player in training and changed his mind. He put him on the bench for the first leg of the League Cup semi-final at Chelsea. So this is an example whereby, in my view, what is now happening is that Arsene Wenger is certainly with the major signing consulted on the level of, would you like this player? But in terms of young players, future players, I think that's taken out of his hands now, because I do believe that this is his final contract. I do not think there will be any renewal. The only question, as far as I'm concerned, is whether or not he does next season. And the other thing to mention about the recent negotiations is that, although, yes, I agree, it does have the hallmark of a classic Wenger negotiation. What actually happened here was Ivan Gazidis was leading the transfer negotiations, a job he's not very good at and never really has performed well. But that is the reason we're bringing in the guy from Barcelona. And as of the summer, the Barcelona guy will be doing the deals and doing them, I would imagine, a lot more efficiently than there has been in the past. Because what's happening now is penny pinching. Arsenal try and save a few million here, a couple of weeks' wages for Aubameyang there. They're just effectively doing what they always used to do, which is scrimping around for pennies. But if they have ambition, and I don't believe that the director, the Barcelona director of football, has moved to Arsenal to be micromanaged by Arsene Wenger, and I don't think he's moved here with the thought that he's going to be working at a club that doesn't have ambition, then I think we will begin to see Arsenal flex the financial muscle they do actually have, even though they're into to pretend they haven't. The bottom line is they're something like the fifth richest club in the world. And I do believe they're going to have to start behaving like that. And they've been held back because of the Wenger situation. So my optimism is far greater than yours, because I'm aware that Sanley will be reporting direct to Gazidis. You know, he will work alongside Wenger, but he won't be under him in the hierarchy. And in reality, this is just preparation for Wenger's departure, when we will see a new style of work at the club, which is more in sympathy with what other top European clubs are doing and have been doing for several years. So, yes, Wenger is the fly in the ointment currently, but I do believe we will see change, we will see progress, we will see Arsenal return to being competitive under a new structure, as long as they get the right man to succeed Arsene Wenger.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, I understand your belief. It's normal that all the people want to believe in good. But reality is that nothing has changed. Nothing. The same style of negotiation. They sell abusive transfers, abusive sellings. I'm sorry, Giroud to Chelsea is also abuse. Why would you sell Giroud to Chelsea? Why? I don't understand the reason.
The reason is, presumably...
No, you mean that Dortmund need a replacement? But I'm sorry, it's not my problem. Pay the Dortmund what you want to Dortmund 1st of January, take Aubameyang, and let Dortmund find a replacement by themselves.
Okay.
Why you have to be involved in this story? I don't understand.
Well, that does come down to the penny pinching. You know, that's what that is. It's trying to save money. So, yes, we agree there. You know, whether or not Arsenal are able to act in the way Manchester United and Manchester City and Chelsea do by just paying the money, I don't know. I'd like to think they can. But I suspect what will need to happen is that they will have to shift some of the playing budget away from the wage bill, which, considering the quality at the club, is far too high. There are players which are being severely overpaid. And Giroud may be one of those, considering what he's actually contributing to the team now. So this is all planning ahead. How old is Giroud? Is he 31? You know, they're basically thinking, what is our team going to look like when Wenger goes, and what handicap are we going to burden the next guy with? And if they can see Giroud is just going to be a marginal contributor on huge wages, then get shot of him. It's if they don't plan to use him, and they haven't this season. You know, in the Premier League, he's come on a few times, but how many goals has he scored? His contribution has waned.
Kevin, you are trying to mix the financial question and football question. We are not talking on Giroud as a player. Tell me, how much Giroud is on?
I'd imagine his wages are... I'm speculating here, around about 100,000 a week.
100,000 a week. In the current market, this is not huge wage, first. Second, do you think that Giroud and Lacazette is a different quality.
In terms of today,
we don't know what will happen tomorrow, but if, in terms of today,
well,
can you justify Lacazette playing ahead of Giroud?
It's 50-50.
50-50. Okay, so it's a football problem. You are talking that Giroud can't give us the good statistics and good goals, but Giroud is not playing enough compared to Lacazette. I'm not against Lacazette, but if you try to compare the time Giroud is playing and Lacazette is playing, Giroud saved Wenger a huge amount of points last year. Giroud repeated, you understand, the record for the players who scored from the bench. Yes. And he is an equal with Solskjaer, mm-hmm. 18 goals. So it's a question of the coach who doesn't allow him to play, in my view. Mm. But okay, football story is a football story. The coach has a right to choose the player and to say, okay, you will play, you will not. It's his priority, but only if he is responsible at the end of the season for the result. And we all know that Arsene Wenger is not responsible for any results. Even if Arsenal will be 15th place, he will not be going to say goodbye, definitely. And he will be preparing for next season, for building new team. So this is the main problem. If you are talking about wages, there must be special department. Who is talking on wages? Who is negotiating the deals? Who is taking finances? And the coach must coach the team, prepare the team to the matches. The only club where is manager as a manager exists is Arsenal. Mourinho, in fact, cannot buy by himself, don't negotiate with the players on wages. Conte, Klopp, nobody can now. Sir Alex Ferguson could, but nobody can now except Arsene Wenger. So it's a last century for so-called managers. And as far as I understand, the era of the managers is finished because it's a wrong system of management. And that's it. If you are a specialist in football, you're working in a football team. If you're a specialist in finance, you're working in finance department. In my view, Arsene Wenger is not a specialist in finance. And is not a specialist in modern football. He was a specialist in old football, but he is absolutely not a specialist now. And there are a lot of guys who is ready to replace him. I don't know. It's obvious. It's absolutely obvious. You don't need even top names. We have seen yesterday the Portuguese guy, Carvalhal, who came to Swansea and in 3 weeks he changed the team. 3 weeks. What is needed to change the team if you are a real professional? You don't need 21 years. You need 3 weeks.
Yes, I agree. It does need freshening up. But let me put it to you like this. Do you think Arsene Wenger had any input into the decisions to bring Mislintat to the club and to bring Sanle to the club?
I don't know if he is, but I'm sure that the power of Arsene Wenger is absolutely the same as it was before. That's it. He is in charge of everything.
Do you believe me when I told you he had nothing to do with the arrival of the Greek defender?
No, I believe, of course, because this is not the first player he has nothing to do. Situation with Arshavin was exactly the same. Wenger was in London, Gazidis was in Russia. It was absolutely the same situation. And Wenger demonstrated to the whole world that he doesn't need this player.
Yes. Now, what was the Russian view on Arshavin's treatment at Arsenal?
My personal view that Wenger has a huge responsibility for Arsenal didn't perform like he could. And he was rotten, of course, in Arsenal by Arsene Wenger, because Wenger wants to play Ramsey at Arsenal's position. Of course, there is some guilt from the Russian player, definitely, because he's not easy guy. But my friend, nobody of big players are simple guys. Simple guy maybe Iwobi, who is not a player at all, in my view. Yes, and I understand that Wenger is in comfort in working with him. But I'm sorry, with big characters, Wenger cannot handle. And the story with Sanchez, obvious story, because Sanchez was the best player I've seen in 21st century in Arsenal shot.
Would you include
one of the best, of course, yeah. Not the best, but one of the best, but definitely the best sporting character. Absolutely. Right. So okay. He wants to win.
Yes. Yes, it's particularly damning that after having bought the likes of Sanchez and Ozil, the chances are these players want to move on because their football ambitions are not being satisfied at Arsenal. It's something that you just cannot ignore.
Absolutely.
As a condemnation of the way the club has been allowed to drift. So, I mean, let's talk about the Premier League generally, because I'm aware you don't just watch Arsenal matches, you enjoy other teams. So, just tell me what you make of Manchester City this season. How do they compare with other great teams? Because it does look like Guardiola has got it right this season, and certainly they will win the domestic title. But they could win more trophies as well.
Yeah, I agree with you. Today's 24 games they have played. But Kevin, imagine for 1 second, then in May, Manchester City will not take a title. Just imagine.
Okay.
What will happen with Guardiola?
I think there's a good chance they would get rid of him.
Absolutely. So Guardiola will be hero at the end of May only. Now, okay, end of January, Man City is a very good team. And I like the style they're playing today. And I'm happy they are not invincible. And I supported Liverpool, I have to confess. I supported everybody, Crystal Palace, everybody who could do it. And finally, it's done. It's very good. But to access the situation with Pep Guardiola and Manchester City, we need to wait for the end of the season. The result in Champions League is important. The final, the League Cup final is important for him, obviously. Because he wins nothing still. And okay, it looks like he did a fantastic job, but we need to wait for May.
Okay. All right. So too early to pass judgment.
Absolutely. Judgment in May, you remember?
Yes, indeed. Indeed. Although when there's a guilty verdict, nothing's going to happen.
Yes. Yes.
There we are. So, I mean, given that Manchester City are seemingly running away with the title, has it been an interesting season for you as an observer of the Premier League?
Listen, their season is very interesting, a lot of local intrigues, and I believe it will be very interesting fighting for the relegation this season. Mm. In my view, 12 teams will be involved, as it stands now, including Everton, of course, which we played next game. And also, I think that maybe there will be some fight for top four, but 100% that Arsenal will not take part in this fighting because there are 13 games to go, and Arsenal has 8.5 points from fourth place because of the goal difference. And I don't see how Arsenal would be able to catch Liverpool, because from these 13 games, Arsenal and Liverpool both have 3 big games and 10 games with underdogs. So the schedule is more or less the same. I don't see how Arsenal can cover 9 points. In my view, it's impossible. The only possibility, maybe, is that Chelsea will have a problems. Maybe. But so I don't think also.
Okay.
In my view, top four is definitely clear today without Tottenham and Arsenal.
Right. And do you think that Arsenal will have any chance of getting to the Europa League final?
Yes, I think that any chance. The question is, what is this chance? It definitely depends on opposite sides. But what I'm sure, that in Sweden, in February, in Sweden, Arsenal will not win.
Okay.
I'm not sure about two legs, that it depends on Swedish more. But in Sweden, Arsenal will not win because the team is not bad. Swedish, and they will be cold, which Arsenal don't like, and the style of play of Swedish team Arsenal also don't like. So it will be a difficult story with this Swedish team. Östersund.
Yes.
So let's see after Östersund. If we pass Östersund, then we will understand who will play, because there are some teams from Champions League, as you remember.
Yes, indeed.
Including Borussia Dortmund.
Yes, indeed. And that, I think, means Aubameyang, if he is signed, will not be able to play for Arsenal in Europe. So that's a bit unfortunate.
There will be only problem is if we will be with Borussia together. But what I think that German teams today, it's a very good draw. It's a very good draw. So I'm not sure Arsenal will pass Östersund, but I will sure that Arsenal will pass Borussia Dortmund.
Okay. All right.
You can see the results of German team in Europa League. There were three teams. Two of them, Hertha and Hoffenheim, was on the last position in the group. And Köln in our group was third ahead of Bate.
Oh, really? Okay. So yes. Red Star got...
Yes, so the German championships is a good draw.
Yes. Okay. And, I mean, if you're going to predict matches, how do you see the Carabao Cup final going at the end of February?
Listen, it's a strange story. Arsenal now is a team who cannot perform consistently well, but it can produce some good matches.
Right.
For example, like cup final, like cup semi-final, and maybe like even like semi-final versus Chelsea this month, the second one. So I can imagine that Guardiola will be very worrying, because it can be his first title in England. I understand that Manchester City doesn't like to play with Arsenal. I don't know why, maybe historically, with Mancini also. So I can imagine that there will be a serious game. But For me, League Cup is good, is okay, but it cannot save our season.
No. And let me just move into the realms of fantasy for a moment and imagine, let's say, that Arsene Wenger had a terrible car accident at the end of May and he wasn't able to continue. Who would you like to be the next manager at Arsenal from the likely available candidates?
It's a very simple question, because I don't believe he will leave in May 18th. I don't believe he will leave in May 19th. So now I would accept everybody. Everybody, because we need a change.
Right.
We just need a change first. So I'm not sure about Eddie Howe, of course. And to be honest, I don't want Eddie Howe at Arsenal. Mm. But if you will say me that this is the only way to send Wenger out of the club, I will say yes. Okay.
What do you make of stories, for example, about Carlo Ancelotti taking over? I mean, do you think he would be a good choice?
Absolutely, yes, but I don't believe that there will be possibility to him.
Right.
Of course, Carlo Ancelotti is good. Antonio Conte is also good. So I believe there are a lot of managers we can discuss that everybody will be good. The story is about Wenger. You know, there is a protest planning on Saturday.
Yes.
And two slogans, Wenger out and Kroenke out, and there is a discussion which slogan must be first. What I think that if Arsene Wenger leaves the club, then Stan Kroenke would consider selling the club. Oh. Because his mission will be finished.
Right.
He doesn't have Arsene Wenger to keep in the club anymore. So, Wenger out means that very soon the Kroenke also will be out, in my view.
Okay.
And the main problem in the club is Mr. Wenger. And Kevin, you know that there are a lot of journalists talking on Arsene Wenger legacy.
Mm.
I don't know what does it mean, Arsene Wenger legacy, except three titles and invincibles, of course. But if we are talking that legacy is titles and invincible season, there is no reason to discuss it, because it's undiscussable. So what else legacy? What do you think?
Well, I mean, people talk about the new stadium.
Okay, so let's discuss. So Wenger built a new stadium, it's a question.
Well, there is a version of history whereby Arsenal would not have been able to move from Highbury without the success they achieved under Wenger in the first 10 years. And there's a theory that Arsenal could not have afforded to manage the repayments unless Wenger kept the team in the Champions League, which is a nonsense.
But, absolutely. You know, it's an absolute nonsense.
It's what people talk about and believe, you know.
Mm-hmm. So new stadium is a legacy. And when you write your articles, Kevin, you write the name of your stadium as E and then S at the end.
Yes.
So... Yes. If you try to make a poll to the Gunners, would you like to come back to Highbury?
No.
Do you have any doubts in result?
No.
No. So, new stadium is not a legacy. Mm.
Yes, well, especially...
What else?
There is an argument that the Arsenal brand now... is linked heavily to the style of play that we've developed under Wenger.
And we have seen this style of play yesterday in Bournemouth, well, in Nottingham.
It's obviously a myth. That,
absolutely.
You know, it lasts.
What else?
Well, you're asking someone who doesn't believe in any of it. So difficult for me to think of more examples. But he did win, you know, they say he won whatever it is, 6 or 7 FA Cups.
Yes, okay, titles and trophies is not a question to discuss. Yeah. So you don't need to discuss it.
No.
The people is discussing. Every week, there is a discussion that Arsene Wenger can damage his legacy. Well, you can't damage your titles.
Yes, this is true. I think reputation is probably a better word. And if reputation is already damaged beyond repair, you know, people respect him in the way they respect someone like they used to respect the Queen Mother in this country. Someone who's so old and doddery that it would be impolite to have a go at them. But there we are.
So, do you remember the poll I asked you?
Yes.
At the beginning?
Indeed, I do.
So, once again, if you will be told that Arsenal in next 8 season will take following position, 1-4, 1-4, 10-4, 12, and 5. Will you accept it, Kevin?
I would accept that, yes.
You would accept it.
Yes.
Me too, and we had this poll inside our community. 83% said yes.
Okay.
This is not a strange figure, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
This is a figures, a positions, which Arsenal got before Wenger comes from 1989 till 1986.
Yeah.
It means that legacy, Wenger's legacy, is a total myth. Okay. The people want to come back to the years before Wenger comes.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. I like it. All right. Well, we've been chatting for over an hour, so we'll just wrap up with something which may be of interest to football fans generally, not just Arsenal fans here. But the World Cup will be taking place in Russia next summer. What's the feeling over there? I mean, are the stadiums all ready? What's the infrastructure like in terms of the hotels, transport? Is Russia, you know, ready to host the World Cup?
I believe mostly yes, because the government took a serious part in these constructions. The main question, as far as I understand, the people ask me from abroad is about security.
Mm-hmm.
But I am absolutely sure that no serious incident will take place because Russia has a big experience in big competitions, in organizing big competitions. So I don't think there will be any problems on this side, unless you are personally want to get in the trouble, of course.
Okay.
So there are special trains between the cities free of charge. For example, between Moscow and St. Petersburg, you can go through the night free of charge. You need to get a ticket, of course, on the website, but it's free. So some things will be new maybe to World Cups. But what I have to say to the people who is going to visit is that they need to make fan ID. It's a special ID. You do it through internet, because without fan ID, you cannot take tickets to free trains. And also fan ID is your visa. So if you get fan ID, you don't need visa to enter to Russia. This is very convenient to those who want to visit World Cup. So generally speaking, I don't think that you can expect any kind of problems. No, except for usual ones, small ones.
Okay. All right. So basically, if supporters are following England, do you think there'll be any chance of a repeat of the scenes we saw in the south of France at the Euros?
I don't think there is a chance because there will be Russian territory and Russian police will be in action to prevent all these possibilities. So I'm sure. Now, if you want to find the trouble in any country, finally you will find it.
Right.
But only in this way.
Okay. All right. Well, on that note, we're going to wrap up now, Ivan. So can I just say many thanks for your time and your opinions. I will get the address of your blog, and because we obviously have the ability to translate websites these days, so people, if they're interested, can have a look on your on the Russian thoughts on Arsenal matters, and I'll run that on the website when I post this podcast, so people.
Thank you very much, Kevin, and thank you for invitation, and thank you for all listeners for their patience.
And maybe we'll speak again when something has changed. Reason to look at
hopefully.
New areas. In your view, that might not be for a few years, but we live in hope. All right. Thank you very much, Ivan, and thanks to all our listeners for listening. This is Kevin Witcher with a special edition of the Guna podcast. We'll be back with a more normal one towards the latter half of February. Until then, thank you very much for listening.